This morning we are very blessed. We have Rich and Wanda Ferguson who've been staying in our house, in our missionary house, and they have been a great blessing. And you know, I was just even thinking this week, they were saying, you know, we've been able to do everything that we would be doing in Peru right here from Quitman. So isn't that awesome that God has allowed us to have a little bit of part in the spreading of the gospel, the teaching and the training of their students right here next door. And that is what technology has definitely done and made available this year. But they are going to minister and just be sharing some what all of these missions projects that we present to you and are raising funds for, how they have impacted them, and then sharing the word with us this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We love you guys.
Well, thank you. And wow, it was great seeing the young people on the platform this morning. Juan and I have been ministering to youth and children for over 30 years. We don't look that old, I know, but it was great. You guys did a great job. Congratulations, and thank you for supporting Speed the Light. And we want to thank you also for your hospitality, for opening up a missions home to us. About 4 days before we arrived in the United States, we had no idea where we were going to be staying. We were scrambling and searching, and we heard about Quitman, Texas. And I wrote to Norma and said, hey, you know, is there any possibility? And she said, oh, yeah, come on. And so it's been wonderful to be here. Just so you know, the place we live is Lima. It's 11 million people. It's one of those cities that never sleeps. And so it's nice to be in Quitman where they pretty much roll up the sidewalks about 9 o'clock at night. It's quiet. It's dark. And the house has been wonderful. And it's also been enabled us to also minister to our daughter who's in her first year at Southwestern. And so we want to thank you for your warm hospitality. This morning we want to share with you a little bit about what missions and what your missions giving helps us to do in the country of Peru.
So this morning we would like to show you the missionary side of the offerings that you give through the church and you give through Speed the Light and through the women's ministries and how it impacts us when we're on the field. We've always felt like the Assemblies of God has been a wonderful organization for its missionaries. From its very beginning in 1914, they had a missionary vision. And one of the reasons the Assemblies of God came into existence is they wanted to be a channel or an agency for missionary service, to a place to send missionaries out and a place for the churches to give money and for them to get it to the field. And one of the things that has worked with the Assemblies of God is that we believe that the whole gospel, the full gospel, the good news of salvation and the good news of spirit-empowered living needs to be shared with everybody in the entire world. So we believe that we need to preach the whole gospel to the whole world, everybody, even the people on the farthest shores of the world, the people in the dustiest, driest places in Africa, in the most tropical rainforests, deserve to hear the gospel. But the only way we will be able to do that is if the whole church participates. So it's the whole gospel to the whole world, the responsibility of the whole church. And from the very beginning, the Assemblies of God has given special tasks to different parts of the church. And this morning, we will start with Speed the Light. Speed the Light is the branch of missionary offering fundraising that is given to the young people of the church. And we want to let you know how Speed the Light has blessed us and what Speed the Light does around the world.
You may not think of an earthquake as being an opportunity to share Christ, but it was, and it was very unconventional. A number of years ago, we had an 8.0 earthquake just south of the city of Lima, about 120 miles south. We got down there 3 days after the earthquake hit. There were over 40,000 homes that were destroyed across that area. Three main cities were completely shut down. All stores were closed. Electricity was cut off. As we drove down the highway, we saw probably about 100 to 200 electric poles laying it down on the ground. So there was no electricity. There was nothing when we got there. This is one of the hospitals, one of the main hospitals in the area, was completely destroyed by the earthquake. There were a total of 7 hospitals that were destroyed. Everybody's school was demolished. I'm sure the young people were very happy about that, but for maybe the first 2 weeks. But this is the area that we got down to when we found the earthquake. There were 200,000 people that were left homeless. Were living on the streets. They were living under whatever they could find, whatever plastic or tarps they could get. We also had 22 Assemblies of God churches that were destroyed as a result of this earthquake. One of our churches is right on the main highway, going north to south through the country. And just the Wednesday, or just the Sunday before, the pastor had a guest speaker in the church, and the guest speaker said from the pulpit, "Pastor, you need to tear down this old building and you need to build a new building." So after the service, or at the end of the service, the pastor got up and said, "Well, I appreciate what you had to say, but we don't even have money to tear down our building. How are we going to build a new one?" Well, Wednesday at 6:41 p.m., there was an 8.0 earthquake centered pretty much where they were living. And their mud brick church, the walls fell out and the roof came down in about 3 seconds. So what they didn't have money to do, God did in just a matter of seconds. We had, like I mentioned, 22 churches that were completely destroyed. Most of them were built with mud brick. A couple weeks after the earthquake, I met with our pastors and I made a commitment. We, as missionaries of the Assemblies of God, we are going to rebuild your churches. We are going to help you. We will partner with you. But we are not going to rebuild with mud brick. We are going to build with cement, brick, rebar, and we will get you your floor, your walls, and your first roof. Most churches there will build up 3 or 4 floors. Putting a flat slab cement is their first roof. We said, we will get you that first section, and then we will go on. Well, I'm here to tell you that 12 years later, we have rebuilt 22 churches. Unconventional. An earthquake. Who would have thought an earthquake would allow you to share the gospel? But it did. The day after the earthquake, we began our plan of respond, restore, rebuild. This is our office at the time, and we were able to get some funds from the AG Relief, and were able to go out and buy water, juice, crackers. We would pretty much anything that somebody could open and eat or drink at that time, because remember, all the stores were closed. If they were not handed something, they were not going to eat. And we're talking an area that probably about 200,000 to 250,000 people live in. There's some of the water that we just kept buying it and shipping it down. So the 3 days after the earthquake, we loaded up 3 vehicles. That's the beauty. That's the beast. And that's Punchinello, the bus, because he is special. We loaded up these 3 vehicles, headed down to the city of Chincha, got down there, and were able to partner with some of our local churches to do distribution centers. And then for the next 4 months, every day, people were out on the streets handing out food, handing out water. People would line up sometimes hours just to get a bag of food. But God opened up these opportunities to share Christ. We were able to use our Speed the Light sound system to go out on the streets. And we have battery-operated ones, so we don't even need electricity. Set up the sound systems and do gospel presentations. We were able to minister to children. A lot of these kids had lost everything. I remember shortly after the earthquake, we had acquired a bobcat. And I was cleaning out a house, and I noticed that all the toys were in a pile of rubble. And so we were able to pray for these kids who had been just completely devastated. And at the end of every gospel presentation, we handed out candy and we handed out toys. And those kids, you would have thought that it was Christmas all over for them. An opportunity, unconventional, but able to share Christ. And then we used the Punchinello to take tents to, ended up with 7 different gospel tents. Some we had already had, some got shipped down to us. And then we were able to go out and set up these tents in places where our churches had been destroyed. So within just a few weeks, our churches were up and running and ministering to the people. And our churches were filled to capacity. If we hadn't had that Speed the Light bus, I don't know how we would have gotten that stuff where it needed to go, but God opened the door, unconventional. And all 22 churches, praise the Lord, have been rebuilt. Let me just give a shout out to the David Wilkerson Ministries. I know they're centered not too far from here. When the earthquake took place, they sent one of the representatives down, and he met with me, and he said, we are going to build one of those churches from the footers until it's done. And let me tell you, it is a beautiful building, and we're so grateful to the David Wilkerson Ministries. We've also used our beauty to take things all over the country. This is one of our trips that we did, 4 hours on a dusty road. At certain points, I was up in the mountains, and Lily could look down beside the car about 1,000 feet. But we took supplies out and were able to minister to these kids, most of whom had never heard the gospel message before. We were able to help a small church there, and now they have a thriving children and youth ministry that's going on. We also use the Punchinello, the bus. When teams come down, we've had construction teams. This is one of our construction teams that I think worked in the city of Lima. They are actually from a place called Peru, Indiana. From Peru to Peru. We also use it when we have youth ministry teams come down, out on the streets doing evangelism. And then, of course, when we do these, we also use our Speed the Light sound system. We also use our Speed the Light sound system when we do youth camps, youth conventions, warrior schools, when we do kids camps. This is one of our kids camps from a number of years ago. And then we've also been able to get a large, I believe it's a 12 by 12 foot screen and a projector from Speed the Light. And we've been able to use this to project the Jesus video. And this is this last January at our warrior school Game Over, where we talked about the end times, teaching our young people about what we can expect as the time draws to a conclusion. We've also used the screen using backlighting in dramas. So Speed the Light has been a great ministry to us.
Another thing that you may have heard about Speed the Light is with the theme of unconventional, they've found different ways that you can advance the gospel. And one of the things they've done in areas that are restricted to missionary service is portable Wi-Fi. And it's small enough to fit in a pocket, and they load it up with links and different things. Part of it is the Jesus video, and they'll do it in Arabic. And they'll go to airports. They've done it in Jeddah and different places where they have this Wi-Fi signal that people that are there waiting are looking for free Wi-Fi, and they hook into it, and it takes them to the Jesus film. It even works on airplanes. And Speed the Light has paid for missionaries to have this technology and to keep loading up Wi-Fi so that they can share the gospel in that unconventional way. Another thing that they've done is they've made journals, but it would work like this. This is a novel. You probably can't see that it's a novel in Spanish, but you can write on it or print in it with ink that is invisible in normal light. But when you shine ultraviolet light on it, it reveals the message. And so they've done it with journals, and right there I've written something in Spanish. Because everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then you put go to another page and it's marked, and they can look through this novel and find more scripture and the way to salvation. And they've done this in different countries where having a Bible in your possession could be dangerous, but they've been able to share the gospel with people this way. So there is a lot of creativity and a lot of ways that God is working even when we don't see it. He's working. And Speed the Light has enabled missionaries to be able to use this kind of technology where they're ministering.
Another thing that, of course, is a big part of missions is Light for the Lost. This is our men's ministries branch of giving to missions. Light for the Lost is a wonderful area for missions. It provides us with evangelism tools and materials. It also helps with Bibles. And this is one of our evangelism tracts that we've used with youth and children. We have printed up probably about 500,000 tracts over the last few years, and we have handed out all of those tracts. And how much did we have to pay for it? Zero. Light for the Lost covered that expense completely. This is one of our teams that was out a number of years ago, and again, ministering to the kids and handing out the tracts. And they don't just hand it out our young people are trained to stand there and explain it to them, to teach them and say, hey, you know, let me go through this with you and let me show you what it means. And these were a couple of our King's Castle girls. And then the Fire Bible. Light for the Lost has also provided funds for the Fire Bible to be printed right now in 57 different languages. This is the Pentecostal Study Bible. All of the notes at the bottom of the page, all of the articles that are in there, were written by Assemblies of God theologians. This is our Bible. This is ours. And thanks to Light for the Lost, we have that Bible in Spanish. We've handed out hundreds of these things all across the country of Peru. When we have graduates from our schools, this is the gift we give them when they graduate, so that they can take it and they can use it. But it is in all across the world, and Light for the Lost has provided that free of charge in a lot of places for our missionaries.
Also want to, I know that it's not being emphasized today, but give a shout out to BGMC, which is the children's missionary participation, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. It used to be, when I was a kid, Boys and Girls Missionary Crusade. But BGMC is a very unique ministry because it meets needs of missionaries around the world. They provide curriculum so that we can have Sunday school in our churches. They also help Bible schools with their curriculum and different programs that they need. There are feeding programs around the world. I know there are many places in Africa and along in Latin America that have Latin America childcare schools get funding from BGMC so they can feed the children. They're also providing water wells in different places, and they are one of the ministries that is undesignated in its majority, and that means that they can draw from a large amount of funds to meet critical needs around the world. And it's amazing how much little kids can fill in their little buddy barrels and bring in. It's millions and millions of dollars each year that the Lord uses and multiplies to meet needs. We do our own variation of BGMC in Peru. We have those are our buddy barrel buckets, and they're actually adolescents and young people that are using them. But each year, our third year students in our ministry do a missionary assignment, and it's usually a 6-month missionary assignment. They've gone all over Latin America. We even have had kids come to the United States and have worked in Chicago, but we've had Mexico, Dominican Republic, all the little countries in Central America, and most of South America. And during our Warriors School, we give them their buddy barrel bucket. And that is the beginning of their fundraising for their time of missions. And during the actual Warriors School, we have a competition. There's Buddy Barrel in the jungle of Peru riding a moto taxi. And then he took a flight, too, which is the next one. He went to Cusco. We do have a Buddy Barrel that's traveled around the country of Peru. And if you get your picture with him, you're pretty important. So here are a couple kids that got their picture taken with him. These are children that are in a discipleship program, and they are graduating, and they have their certificates there, and they're posing with Buddy Barrel. And this little girl was in the city of Cusco up in the Andes Mountains, and she wanted to pose with Buddy Barrel too. But what happens at the conclusion of our Warriors School is the missionary that has raised the most money in their Buddy Barrel bucket gets a missionary backpack. And my daughter Angela there is posing with a missionary backpack. And we put different things in it that helps them with their missionary time. They have children's ministries equipment in there, and they have things that they'll need when they travel. But it's been a really good motivator to get out there and shake that Buddy Barrel bucket and raise missionary support. This year has been an unconventional year. COVID has hit the entire world. There was actually six. The young man that was part of this group was not able to go on his missionary assignment. But these girls had started to raise their funds beginning in January. And they were going to go to different countries. They had their projects already made, but the Lord changed their plans because the airports were closed. And so the five of them pooled their resources together, and they decided that they were going to make an impact in an unreached people's group within the borders of the country of Peru. So they took all of their resources and they went to the Machiganga, and they have been working there since July. And they have done all kinds of things like you would not believe. One of them is a seamstress. Before she came to our ministry, she was working in a shop and was making wedding dresses. And so she's taught them how to sew. And they've had vacation Bible schools. They've had all kinds of training. They have come and they have lived with this tribe, and they have poured into them. And I don't think this is a coincidence. I really believe the Lord orchestrated everything, because this is where he wanted them to do their missionary assignment. And we're really blessed. BGMC provides curriculum, and one of the ways that they have blessed us is we've been able to print up our youth discipleship materials because of their generosity. We also are able to do our children's curriculum, which is through King's Castle. It's Castillo Feliz and Club Castillo, which are different discipleship materials that we're able to print up because of the generosity of children across the United States. All right, now to finish. The women's ministries also has an impact as far as missions. And your missionary house is an example of what WMs or women's ministries does across the board. If they have something called the home market, and your offerings are pooled together so that when the missionary gets to the field, they can buy a stove and a refrigerator and a washer and dryer. Then in some districts like yours, they collect the household items like linens, sheets and towels and dishes and kitchen appliances, and every missionary's favorite thing, which is Tupperware. I could tell you a million stories of what you use Tupperware for, and it's very unconventional. But that is something that you set up missionaries with. And both of us are also missionary kids, so we grew up in homes that benefited from the WMs. And I just want to say that when you bless the mom or you bless the wife in this way, it goes a long way. There's a lot of truth to be said that if the mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. It's true. And when you get to the mission field, sometimes there's a lot of stressors and there's a lot of a pressure upon the family unit. And if you can have a reliable stove and a refrigerator and all these little comforts of home, actually necessities of home, it helps. It helps to maintain the stability and the happiness in the home. And everything that you've ever done to put in the missionary house is the hands of Jesus. It really is. When I opened a drawer and I find a peeler and a can opener, all of those things are a blessing. You may think they're small, but they're very significant when you put them all together. And it's a tremendous blessing. Sometimes women's ministries also raise funds to furnish Bible institutes, and they've done this in Peru a couple of times. And they have purchased theological libraries for places that ordinarily could not afford it. Women's ministries have come to Peru several times to the seminary in Lima to refurbish it, redo the kitchen, to redo the dormitories, and in that way they're blessing people that are preparing for ministry. So everything that you do, it has meaning. It has significance. And it blesses missionaries in ways that they probably have never been able to express to you how much and what an impact it makes. My parents also had Speed the Light vehicles, and they used to give out stickers that said, "This equipment is provided by Speed the Light." And my dad used to put it right on the glove compartment, this big sticker. And people would get in the car, and they'd say, "What does that say?" And he would say, "This car was paid for by young people in the United States." And they're like, "Young people? But they don't even have jobs." And it's true. Some of them don't have income, but they do fundraisers. They do all kinds of things. And they provide and equip missionaries with the top of the line. Vehicles and sound systems and different equipment. And in any way that they can help us get the gospel there quicker. And we are so, so very thankful.
Back in the early days, Speed the Light even provided mules, horses. We've heard about camels. And actually, at one time, Speed the Light had bought an airplane to get missionaries from the United States to their countries of calling. It was called Ambassador One. My mom is also a missionary kid. My grandparents were missionaries. They flew on Ambassador One from the United States down to Brazil, and then from Brazil across to Africa. And so God has been doing incredible things. And I love the verse that they started off with. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And that all nations means every group of people in the world, the ta etni, every ethnic group. And, you know, when you give, whether it's to Speed Light or BGMC or Light for the Lost or to the women's ministries, you are making it possible for us to make disciples. I mean, if we had to raise all of our own funds for all of our own appliances and cars and all that, we might never make it to the field. We know some missions organizations where they have to do that. But thank you to the Assemblies of God, to the men, the women, the youth, and the children. We get to go. And we are the best equipped missionaries in the world. And we have the greatest message. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we go and we preach the gospel. And we see people get saved. We plant churches. We raise up workers. And we send them out. And they go. And they go places where Juan and I will never be able to go. We have some young people that we've raised up that are right now working in India. Juan and I are probably never going to make it to India unless it happens during the millennial reign of Christ. I don't even want to go to India. But God has sent them. These young ladies working among that unreached people's group, I may never make it there. But there is Victoria, and Juliana, and Vilda, Jahaira, and Annalie. And they're there and they're working. And you see, we've made disciples. And guess what they're doing? They're making disciples. And you see, discipleship, you know it's been effective when your disciples go and make other disciples. And so we have a little thing in our ministry that when we take pictures, we don't do this. We do this. And so when I see little kids in pictures, and I see young people in pictures, and they're going like this, I have a saying in Spanish, son mis discípulos nietos. They are my grandchildren disciples. And they're all over the world. And we want to thank you. It's because of you giving that we can do what we do. And when you give to missions, you are a part of what God is doing all over the world. And we want to thank you. Lord, we just thank you for First Assembly here in Quitman, Texas. We thank you for the vision of Pastor Ken and Norma, their heart for missions, and not just missions, but missionaries. Lord, we thank you for this congregation who believes in missions. And they believe in loving missionaries. And we want to thank you, Lord, for what they're doing. And Lord, even in this unconventional time that we're living in, Lord, I ask, God, that you will open up doors, give them opportunities to make a difference here in their own community. Lord, we ask, God, that people will hear your message and that they will come to you. Lord, that they will be made disciples here in this church. Lord, I pray for the young people as they continue to learn about you. Lord, as they continue to give to Speed the Light. Lord, as the children give to BGMC, as the men give to Light for the Lost, and as the women give to provide for missionaries around the world. Lord, we just ask, God, that you will bless them in return. Lord, that you will give back to them, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. We ask, God, that you will use them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.